As we wrap up the racing season, our final report of the year, then they get into the off season a little bit. Colin Livingston joins us once again, Colin, and lots and lots to get to. Kyle Busch, you had talked about it when we talked to you last 2 weeks ago. That Busch was the guy you were hoping for, and Busch ends up he hadn't won in a while, and won when it mattered most.
Yeah, I mean, I basically went 50-50 last show. Predicted Kyle as the winner. Wanted Truex to do it for a sentimental value, but Busch took the win, and then I missed the boat on the passing and what kind of race the F1 race was going to be at Brazil. So, you know, I'll take my victories where they come, though. Great to see Busch do it. Interesting race for sure, but lots to talk about.
Well, now, what's interesting is four teams yesterday were penalized for the final race for manipulating the results.
Yeah.
Right? So explain what happened here.
Well, I don't know that I properly can, but it's funny how things work out, because things like this haven't happened since the advent of the playoffs. And we talked about it during the last show, where Michael Waltrip Racing had some of their cars fall back so that their one car could finish further ahead and make the playoffs, and that was Clint Bowyer, and that goes back, you know, whatever that was, chronology is not my friend, but we'll say 7-8 years ago. What happened during the final race is that one of the teams, the 27 car, had a chance to finish 35th overall. They worked out a deal with a couple of their counterparts. They were also backmarkers, where they intentionally retired their cars, you know, claiming brakes or transmission or what have you, so that their car could end up finishing in the 35th position, which would be a whole lot more points and more prize money that gets doled out at the end of the year to the owner. But because NASCAR was able to analyze the performance of the cars, they actually took a look physically at the cars, and they analyzed the radio communication that happened between the crew chiefs and the drivers. They were able to pretty definitively see that this had happened, and it's a major, major, major infraction. NASCAR does not look lightly at this. The two main teams that were involved, they were levied $50,000 fines, but they were also ended up with 50-point penalties, which more than shot them down the owner's order.
Yeah, that's, you know, so basically shadiness at the end of the day is what they're getting fined for. It was about $150,000
in total fines,
which, I know it's a lot, but, you know, for them it's not massive. Now, you talked about F1 in Brazil, great race. Verstappen won it, but very up and down race. Kind of, I don't know if it's, I would say it's different than what we've seen, but it was, I'd say, more entertaining. Like, there was a lot of peaks and valleys in that race.
It was, from start to finish, it was wild. Max Verstappen definitely dominated the race. I mean, he took the pole pretty convincingly, and then there were two or three times that he lost the lead on restarts or through pit strategy, and within corners was able to get past Hamilton. He wasn't able to pull away, but at the same time, if Hamilton ever mounted a charge, he was able to defend it. But the passing mid-pack and the way that the race ended up, I mean, it was honestly one of the most entertaining races of the year. We saw teams that normally finish, you know, towards the back of the pack finishing on the podium. We saw, Hamilton gets penalized for a late race contact with one of the drivers.
Teammates taking out one another.
Ferrari took out Ferrari again. I mean, it had
everything.
Now, that's
the second time, right?
They've done it a few times more than that. There's been a lot of contact. There's been some famous ones going back to Singapore a couple of years ago. Mercedes have taken out Mercedes back in the days when Nico Rosberg was racing with Lewis Hamilton. But this was absolutely unforgivable. Ferrari takes out a Ferrari on a straightaway. Like, you know, when drivers can't figure out how to make their cars point straight without hitting each other, there's something seriously wrong.
Now, this is the last weekend in Abu Dhabi going on this weekend for F1. But will be the last races for guys like Hulkenberg and Kubica. And then I guess kind of also the last chance. You watch it much closer than I do. So, and there's so much at stake in F1. Do drivers try to make a big impression in the last race? Like, do they go for it more, even though, you know, we all know who's won, we all know the standings?
There's still positions to be had. There's still some wiggle room in the constructors as far as who finishes second, third, fourth, and all the way down the grid. So they still have to be somewhat respectful, and they can't be so conservative. Not really trying to make an impression, because everyone who is going to be racing in 2020 is already signed. So it's not like if you have a great race, you're going to end up somewhere else. But the end of the day, these cars aren't really going to be used after this race. You know, okay. There's typically the major teams will stay in Abu Dhabi after the race, and then they hold open tests for their Formula 2 drivers, or, you know, people who have won tests with the F1 teams, where they'll spend a little bit of time after the season and do a couple of days there. But realistically, the drivers, the main seat drivers, know their car is done at the end of the race on Sunday. So they can just let the thing go. That's where it gets a little bit more chaotic, and that's where, you know, there's going to be some drivers that are going to take a little bit more advantage, take a little bit more liberty than they normally would, knowing that, you know, you can't destroy the car, you can't, you know, rack up a big damage bill. For some guys, it's going to be wide open throttle, and, you know, for other guys, they're going to have to be a little bit more conservative, because they need to make sure they get to the end and maximize their potential points.
Colin Limousin joins us in the Cantorque Racing Report. Now, speaking of guys and getting their rides, we're going to see another Canadian in F1 next season, as young Nicolas Latifi will be driving for Williams. Is this the first time we've ever had two Canadians in F1 at the same time?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we don't have a long history of Formula One drivers. I mean, obviously, most notably, we've had Jacques Villeneuve. We've had, you know, Alan Berg. We've had, you know, a handful of guys over the years who have made it there. But yeah, this is the first time we've had two at the same time. So Lance Stroll, and then, you know, this isn't exactly groundbreaking news. We've known that he's going to take this ride for a long time. I'm not sure why they waited so long to make the announcement. So yeah, next year it'll be George Russell. Kubica is going to move out of Formula One. It sounds like he's been offered a test drive, like a development driver and a reserve driver role with the team. I don't know who it is, but it's really cool to see Latifi so excited. Williams is they are a light year off the pace. They are nowhere near competitive. Latifi, he and his family are, you know, wealthy like the Strolls are. So they are definitely bringing a significant amount of money to the table, okay, which hopefully will go into some, car development, and hopefully they can close the gap next year. I mean, next year is kind of a throwaway year as well, because again, it's going to be a completely brand new set of regulations for 2021. So a lot of teams are going to, I think a lot of teams are going to sacrifice next year and focus on their development to 2021. So next year is going to be super interesting as well. But yeah, great to see.
Might be more competitive in a way, because there are some teams, you know, the top teams might be looking ahead, and that allows somebody to catch up for a year.
Which we saw in Brazil. I mean, seeing, you know, Red Bull finishing up front, seeing, you know, Toro Rosso on the podium, seeing McLaren on the podium, you know, Carlos Sainz getting his ever, you know, his first ever podium, Pierre Gasly after his crazy season gets to finish second. I mean, you know, we're seeing the grid mix up a little bit. It's been very entertaining, but yeah, really looking forward to next year, and thanks again for another go-around.
Yeah, well, one last one for you. In IndyCar, we know that Hinchcliffe is out, but Bourdais, the four-time champ, just got dropped from Dale Coyne. What happened?
They lost a sponsor.
Okay.
They had something potentially lined up. I know a few people within that team, and you know, there was a lot of speculation that Hinch was actually set up to go to that ride. It hasn't been done yet. It seems like they're quite far away on dollars. But yeah, that's three drivers now with Bourdais, with Hinch, and Spencer Pigot, who were all under contract with IndyCar teams, that are going to be on the sidelines come 2020. It's it's funny how enforceable or not enforceable these contracts are. Really depends on whether you're a driver or an owner, because, you know, if a driver did anything to violate their contract, they would be eviscerated, and yet these teams seem to be able to walk, you know, to act with impunity, where you know, the drivers are in such a compromised position because if they actually dig in and fight for what's theirs, then they kind of get viewed and looked at as a trouble person. But you know, there never seems to be any repercussion to the owners for you know, for acting like this. It's a really unfortunate double standard.
Colin, I really appreciate it. I love the racer report. I know our motorheads enjoy it as well, as we cover everything. So enjoy a few months of the off season in racing. I know you're going to be karting all over the continent and in other continents as well. So
never stops.
If anything breaks, we'll definitely have you on. I appreciate it.
We got races lined up through the winter, so there is no off season anymore.
Yeah, well, make sure you get out of the fat level, as you call it, and get into the what is it? What did you call it? You have the, and we jokingly say fat, but you're trying to cut weight.
We have the light guys and we have the fat guys.
All right, so are you going to be in the light guy category next year?
I hope so. We're working on it.
Well, get in it. You can do it. No problem. It's, what is it, 12 pounds you got to lose?
From the end of the season, yeah, 12 or 15 pounds.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, that's no
the problem. Is I put on so much muscle. It's, you know.
Yeah, Stretty's not here. Somebody's got to fill
in. Oh, we've been curling together. 75 pounds, man. It bulks you up pretty
exactly,
quick.
Exactly, yeah. You two, you guys in your arm curls. I love it. Thanks, Colin. We'll have a good one.
Thanks, man.